Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic. It's time now for Cuz Radio.
What up, Cuz?
Deshaun Jackson gets a block. Are you kidding?
Talking with the Cuz.
Yo, Cuz. How you doing?
Stairs rips one into the night.
Try it, okay?
Now here's Anthony Gargano.
Why don't you get the hell out of here, Cuz?
Good morning, Mother Fathers!
Happy Friday. It is Friday across the Delaware Valley. What a gorgeous, yes! An amazing spring Friday. What a glorious time as we get to go stress-free into a 3-0 game four tomorrow afternoon. There is nothing better than the 3-0 lead going to game four. That's the ultimate foot up. All right, let's see what happens. Today's going to be less, and we'll obviously discuss game four, Sixers-Raptors, and what we think will happen. And truthfully, I think it's hard to handicap because a lot depends on if Toronto has anything left, right? Is Scottie Barnes going to play? We'll find out some point, I guess, today, update with him. So, you know, what do they got left? What kind of, it's at home, knowing that they're pretty well coached. They seem very prideful. Are they able to gear up for one game? And if so, do the Sixers kind of relax a little bit? I mean, that's always a possibility when you're up 3-0. The only thing that makes me feel really good, or the one of the things that makes me feel really good, I should say, is the Embiid. The Embiid telling Drake, "I'll come with the broom." Like, he wants to sweep them. All right, so my guess is they're coming focused. He's ready to win, and that's what we have seen through the first three games. Now, again, I don't know what's going to happen against Miami and ladder series, but he's ready to win. He's ready to win right now. You could see his focus. You could see him. Like, he wants it bad. That's the one thing that has really popped out over the first part of the series is how bad they want it. I see that same kind of fight and will from Tobias. And you can see Harden, even though his skills may have eroded a little bit, you can see him laser focused. Like I said, he's a smart basketball guy, a real smart basketball guy. So you can see him laser focused. And that's the thing that I think that has really stood out to me. Danny Green, like the veterans on this team, they can taste it. And that's a great thing, being able to taste it. And then you infuse Maxey into the mix, and, you know, you got what you got, which is you got a real shot. It's really on the table. But I do want to talk about this shot as well. And where does that rank? Like, to me, we're going to get together and we do the GOATs on Fridays. We always would do the GOATs. I want to do the GOAT shots.
All right.
For the Sixers, because that's got to be a GOAT shot. That's got to be a top five. We do when we do the GOATs, it's the top five of a subject. And this subject of the greatest shots ever in Sixer history. And that's got to be a top five. That's got to be a GOAT. I mean, you know, again, he may have two after that turnaround fadeaway three, which is game two, which was ridiculous. But I want to, you know, I thought automatically, like, that's one for the annals, that shot. That was one that you went, wow, that moment, which caused us to have a lot of fun yesterday and be exuberant. So we'll get into that. We'll have Legs join us today. He'll go over the series. And we got to talk big picture because the playoffs are really, really interesting. You know, Chris Middleton being out a couple weeks is a big deal for Milwaukee. Now, I still think they beat the Bulls, But the way Boston is playing, Boston could slay them in the second round without Middleton. Because he's going to be out for a few weeks. And then what happens out west when Devin Booker, who's going to be missing some serious time, and all of a sudden the Pels take a 2-1 lead over Phoenix, which is pretty amazing. It was interesting. All the road teams won yesterday. The Memphis-Minnesota game was unbelievable. Unbelievable. Minnesota was up 24 at one point. And then you could see Memphis is coming back, coming back, coming back. They are a flea team, that Minnesota team. They got fleas. Wow, they got fleas. But that was great. And Joker swept out of the first round.
Yeah!
There's the MVP. That's right. He's the MVL. Most valuable loser. Jonas, good morning.
What's going on, man? How are you today?
We're in great spirits.
Yeah, today's a great day, man. I'm in a very good mood, and you know, hopefully it continues into this weekend, and hopefully it continues tomorrow when the Sixers sweep the Raptors, winning two straight in Toronto. That'd be great, man. And yeah, the playoffs are wild right now. Are you saying that there's a possibility of a Sixers-Celtics Eastern Conference Finals?
Yeah, I might lose my mind if that happens.
I don't think you'd be able to control yourself.
No, I know. I don't think I would lose my mind. Sixers-Celtics?
You might go into the home that week.
Yeah.
I've been pushing to try to get you in there for a while. That's not I'm rooting for.
I know.
Shootist Radio.
You even got Gonzo on the caber.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know what I'll do.
Did his wife call you?
I know what I'll do. I'll get Anthony. That's why you read all those tweets. I think I'm not hip to your game.
Right.
Come on, bro. Come on, man. Been around the block.
Exactly.
All kidding aside, the way it's shaping up now, again, we'll see what happens with Milwaukee, but without Chris Middleton, they are supremely vulnerable.
Hey, it's a huge loss. I mean, Giannis could still put up his 40 or so, but if he doesn't get the kind of production from Drew Holiday, because, you know, Drew Holiday's a great ball player. We know that, but it just works so perfectly. Holiday, Middleton, and Giannis, like that trio works perfectly. And it's looking great for the Sixers right now, right? With Tobias Harris and Tyrese Maxey. But you know that there have been times in the past where this trio of Harden, Embiid, and then player C has not always looked perfect. It has always looked perfect for the Bucks, and to lose Chris Middleton like that, that's going to be huge for them, man.
I know.
And Boston, you know, like you said, they're rolling. They're rolling. Ben Simmons is going to come back for game four when they're down 3-0.
Did you see the one of our guys sent me a great video of Simmons? He's working, right, at practice.
Yeah.
And he goes around a coach. He's running a drill, and he makes a pass. And the coach makes a face like, oh, like, dude, what are you doing? Shoot the ball. Don't pass it.
Wait, was it a drill? Just like a...
Yeah.
By himself?
I'll sanitate. I don't know. They're working on something. But it was classic.
He's passing the ghosts now?
No.
He's seeing somebody, ghosts? Oh, okay.
There was somebody passing, but... Now, again, we're just judging off of body language. But when you looked at the coach expected him to spot up and take the shot. And he passed the ball.
Yeah, those expectations, they'll be there for a while, man. You're not going to see it. Oh, man, that's crazy. But, yeah, it was a good night of basketball yesterday, and hopefully the Sixers can complete it tomorrow, man. It's going to be a lot of fun. This should be a fun week upcoming. Like, next week should be a blast. They take care of business in four or at most five, and then next week we get hyped up for a Sixers-Heat playoff series, because I don't think the Heat are going to sweat the Hawks at all.
Right.
I think that might be a sweep, too. And then we get set for what could be a Saturday tip-off, another Saturday tip-off, Sixers-Heat.
Saturday night, that's a good game, awesome, man.
That's going to be a great
Saturday
series.
Saturday night, Miami?
Like, I think the Sixers match up well with the Heat. I know the Heat are going to win games. It's not going to be like this Toronto series. It's going to be a fight, and it's going to be a tough series, man.
Yeah. Yeah, it will be. I keep going back to one thing which makes me feel pretty good about the series is, again, like Toronto. Now, Miami's better than Toronto, so I'm not comparing it. However, how do they play Embiid?
Yeah.
Because they have nobody that can match up with Embiid.
I go Bam greater than, you know, everything that Toronto's throwing one-on-one. But
he eats Bam up.
Yeah, I know. He's still going to give up his...
He does a Bam.
25 to 30, right, if they just play him one-on-one. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. And you know, you might see
I mean, you saw yesterday. You might need Jackie Bam
right.
to guard Embiid.
Yes.
Come on, man.
But it's crazy. Like, game three against Toronto... They did throw, you know, they blitzed Embiid, and he only did score 5 points in the first half. And you're going, uh-oh, they may have found a way to defend the Sixers team. And then he goes off for 28 in the second half. Wipes that clear.
Yeah.
Now I'm not worried about what Miami might throw at him.
Yeah.
I keep on saying, Spoelstra will win them two games in that series.
I agree. I think the biggest thing with going forward, I'll go back to what I said earlier, is... Can they keep up the pace? Right? Like, you're thin.
Yes.
So, you know, you're going to be playing a lot of minutes. Now, the good thing about this whole thing is the schedule is so spread out that you could play 47 minutes and, you know, you're getting rest.
Yeah, and if you win in four, you have 7 days
rest. Like, all of a sudden, like, you're raring to go. You do your practice, you know, the whole thing. Like,
you saw how great they looked in games one and two after having that time off. And Harden looked great. Harden's best game was game three.
Yeah.
He was fantastic game three. And it's crazy. We haven't really, like, I keep on bringing it up, but it's not like, it hasn't been that big of a conversation piece because we've been talking about Embiid and the shot. Right, but Harden played very well in game three.
What he's doing is he's playing the point.
Yes.
Right? Like, you know, again, they missed that. Remember, you had Tyrese is not a point guard.
No.
I mean, not a born point guard. He could play it, played the ball in his hands, but you see he's better as a scorer.
Right.
He's better as, you know, a guy who could score off the dribble, shoot off the dribble, score and penetrate. That's his game. So now, all of a sudden, you look at, listen, is it a mystery that he's better with Harden with the ball, or he's better than with, Tobias is better with Harden on the floor? Nope. You know, I mean, Harden knows how to play the point, play the position.
Yeah, and Tobias said it's the first time this year he's played with a true point guard. And he wasn't taking a shot at Tyrese. It's just,
no.
He hasn't played with a true point guard.
Exactly. But that series could be like an epic series.
Yeah, man, that's gonna be great. Sixers Heat, man.
Are you afraid of though? Listen, I'm gonna tell you, I don't care about jinxes or letdowns or anything else, but I do have this weird feeling that they could make a run to the finals. Like they are going to make a run to the finals.
Yeah, see, I had that feeling last year, and it didn't happen. So maybe it's good that you have that feeling this year and not me.
And it's only because of the way Now, again, I will tell you that part of it is how the whole Middleton thing, like
the stars could align, like we saw in 2017.
It just starts to feel, and knowing how they look. Now, again, here's one thing I need to figure out. Now, maybe you guys, and I just give you what... how I see it. How good is Toronto? I didn't buy that Toronto is this great team. Like, I really did believe the Sixers. You were my witness.
Yep.
I believe the Sixers were going to win in five. Now, I still believe they could beat Miami. I think they'll beat Miami in six. Now, I don't know what happens about Boston or Milwaukee, what happens. But the only thing I need to figure out is, is Toronto that bad that the Sixers look that much better?
I don't think they're that bad. I don't. I mean,
you get my point, right?
Yeah, I do. Like, it's not like, wow, the Sixers swept them because the Raptors stink. I think the Sixers are playing very well. They're clicking on all cylinders. And I think there's just some pieces missing for the Raptors where they're just not that legit of a playoff team. I mean, you want to talk about floor generals, right? I know Van Vliet can be that. But in a game like game three where he's chucking up threes and he's not hitting them, that's going to take away from their offense.
Like I think he's a good player, but
yeah.
I honestly think we overrate the regular season so much.
No, it might be true. Yeah,
that it gives falsities.
But that the floor general leadership, I go from Van Vliet not really having it to Jimmy Butler does.
Right.
Like Jimmy Butler has it and he'll be able to run an offense with Bam, and they have shooters, obviously, Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson. So they have a good team, and I think more of a playoff built team than what the Toronto Raptors are.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't think the Raptors just stink.
Right. Right.
Like you saw game three. I mean, the right. Sixers played their worst game and still won, but you know, I don't think the Raptors are the Wizards. Like, the Wizards sucked last year.
Yeah, they stink. Yeah,
right?
Yeah, they stink. The Toronto greater than Wizards.
Right, and Wizards won a game last year.
I'm with you. Toronto greater than Wizards. My only point is, I don't think Toronto is that good. I don't. Now, I had a guy, and I give you full disclosure, who put a little seedling in my head, because I'm sky high, right? And had a guy who I respect and he knows the league inside and out say, careful, Toronto's not good.
Okay.
And so that was my response, was exactly what you just said. Okay. So I'm like over the moon and I'm trying to check myself a little bit. Because right now, if left to my own devices, I got a launch here. On Broad and Sharp.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Like that's where my head is. My head is completely, I'm going to bare my soul, right? My head is, I think we got a shot, like a real shot.
That's where my dentist is, by the way, if you want to get cleaned up.
Sounds good. I really believe that. I really believe, and I'm really excited. I'm almost afraid to go there on the show. But that's how I feel out of the show. I feel like I think we got a real shot at it.
Yeah, I was saying when I was doom and gloom last week, I was still saying that I think they can beat the Heat and get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And that was doom and gloom me. So I don't think you're crazy to say they have a shot when doom and gloom Dark Hole Chunas is saying, man, these playoffs scare me. But I do think if they get past Toronto, they match up well with the Heat. They should go to the Eastern Conference. If that's doom and gloom me saying that, yeah, it's fine that you're saying they could get to the finals, man.
Yeah, I'm feeling so good. I'm just trying not to go overboard. But I'm curious to see what you guys think. It's going to be a great weekend. Another great weekend, playoff weekend. I got to tell you, we live for this stuff, man. It's so much fun. Everybody coming together, I love it. I do. It's my favorite times when we all get together and we're all excited and we're enjoying the ride with one another. All right. It's a Friday. It's going to be a fun Friday. Again, legs at 1 o'clock, Chunas.
All right. I'm excited for the GOAT list, too.
Yes.
Love the GOAT list.
Yeah, I love the GOAT list, too. We're going to have some fun with it.
You could have an Embiid GOAT list, to be honest.
We might. Well, we could do both. We could do an Embiid.
Remember the Embiid shot system against the Jazz last year?
Yes.
Overtime?
But the playoff, like, you know.
Yeah, I know.
You know. Like, I hate to say it, but the player formerly known as Julius Up and Under is on the list.
No. They're all banished. Every highlight is
but
gone.
First of all, I love what you do at the beginning of the show. That's permanent. All right? That's permanent. That's the edit of the open of the show.
Of the Judas?
Yes.
Judas for Maximus?
Listen, we're going biblical. We're going Roman. All right. We'll come back in just a moment.
It's the Anthony Gargano Show on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, all week I've been waiting for our next guest. I've been waiting impatiently to talk to him. And I'm dying to hear what he has to say other than just a random text here and there. I need a full body breakdown of the first three games of this series and how this team looks from the preeminent voice when it comes to the NBA on ESPN, the great Tim Legler. Legs!
What's up, brother? Hey, listen, man. Let's just save some time. All right, let's just talk about the Heat. We got the Heat coming up. Let's just move on. All right, let's get on to the next round. Right? Why waste our time on this? The Toronto Raptors had their chance to make it a series, and they were not able to do what they needed to do in that game. And they had ample opportunity. It felt like, you know, you could make an argument. Hey, Toronto probably should have won that game. They did not manage certain situations very well. Sixers really didn't either, but I felt like it was in Toronto's grasp to win that game, and they were not able to. That's, look, when you're down 2-0, you got one chance. That's the only chance you have to make it a series. They're right. Not coming back and making this thing interesting. I mean, even if
they seem tight in their execution, especially down the stretch.
Tight, no question.
No, especially when the Sixers come back on them, you could see man.
For sure. No, for sure. And you know, and again, you know, when you're in that situation, you're down 2-0, there's no doubt, you know, the best thing can happen to you, you go out there and, you get one of those wire-to-wire 12, 15-point wins, you know, you can relax. And at some point, you know that you're back in the series. You know, when that thing's hanging in the balance and it's possession by possession late, you're going to feel it because you know the consequences of not winning the game. You know, Philadelphia, should have been playing much more relaxed than Toronto in that situation. And sure enough, it played out that way. And now it's a commanding lead. Look, Toronto is one of those teams, and I have a lot of respect for the way they approach everything and their head coach. I have a lot of respect for him. And I just think they got some tough guys. They're not going to lay down. So I would not be shocked if they don't get swept. I wouldn't be shocked by that. There are certain series you go, okay, that's a wrap.
Right. Like Denver.
I think Denver's toast.
Yeah.
Denver's toast. You know, I don't feel that way. You know, if Miami wins tonight, that's over. If I don't feel that way about Toronto, like I feel like they could win a game and then Philly goes and ends it in five. I mean, that's the most likely scenario. So Toronto had a shot. They didn't get it done. And it's, you know, look, give and be credit. I will say that the design on the last play, I really liked because, you know, they're lucky in that they've got a 7-foot two guy that can shoot the basketball from deep, because with that little time and you're going to run some sort of set.
Right. He's going to shoot over everybody.
You're not going to a big guy there because they don't have the kind of touch. And now you get called out because you're running the play for a center who's not a shooter. They have the biggest guy in the court is also a shooter. So, you know, he can rise up and get off something that at least has a legitimate chance. So I kind of like that little action they ran with that little brush screen to where he curls off the backside and goes right toward the sideline where he's got one place to catch it and get it up. And he's you know, skilled enough that he's going to get something soft up there and big, you know, one of the biggest shots of his career. He said it was the biggest after the game. I'll take his word for it.
Yeah, and you know, he did between that shot and the shot he makes in game two, which was the fall away fadeaway three. I mean, that's something that you got to go, oh my God.
No doubt. Listen, man, I've been saying it for a while about this guy. He defies really all laws of biophysics to be that big and strong and have that kind of touch. I mean, there just shouldn't be that kind of finesse in his game with a guy that is that powerful, because when he plays a certain way in the post and the way he displaces really strong guys and big guys and they just absolutely bounce off of him like they're not even there. And then you see him with some of the stuff he does with the turnaround jumpers and the deep shots and you know, even the way he handles the ball and can put something soft up there like as a runner or floater. He's amazing. He's an amazing talent, man. And he has had a look in his eye the entire season that I have so much respect for because of the disastrous distraction that Ben Simmons could have been and all of that and the way he's handled it all. And I think it starts with he doesn't get ahead of himself anymore when he answers questions. He doesn't talk about himself anymore to that extent. He just plays and he's going to let everything else take care of itself. And I think that combined with his obviously improved stamina and conditioning are just better. He's better longer, and he's better late. And that used to be an issue for him. So he's gotten himself together. His maturity is at an all-time high, and he's an amazing talent. So, you know, that's what you get. And look, I'm thrilled. I hope they get this thing over with, and we get on to the next
round. I know you are. I know you are. Yeah. There's so many things I got to talk to you about. Why? What are you seeing from Harden right now? I guess it's a mixed bag, playing really good point and playing the maestro, but still.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, you're right. Mixed bag is the best way to put it. I think that he's hurt them with his passing. There's no doubt, particularly in that first game. I mean, I still think, you know, you're going to have to see him in a tight situation, in a pressure-packed situation, in the fourth quarter, late, inside of 5 minutes, where he now has to basically win the game or dictate the game as a scorer, because that's gonna happen. It's going to fall in his lap. That's when you're going to make him feel some of the, I think, the pressure of his past playoffs. He hasn't really been in that situation yet. You know, and Embiid playing as great as he is, that's a great luxury for him to have, a guy that should be the first option that can answer a lot of that. But I also think, when you move on, you get into Miami, you know, they're going to be able to do some different things defensively against Embiid that are going to force Harden to have to do more. So as a scorer, I don't think he's the player that he was in Houston. I don't think he's the same guy. But doesn't mean that he's out there, he's a slouch. He can still score. He's still an elite physical specimen. He just doesn't have quite the same ability to get by people or finish in the lane the way that he did, or control the game at the foul line the way he used to. His step back three is just not as consistent as it used to be, but he still commands a lot of attention, and his passing is just about as good as anybody in this league. So he can make guys better, and that to me has been his biggest imprint on the series.
Yeah, I think you're dead right. And, you know, we'll see once you go, you're playing a Heat team, what he can do offensively too. He's looked pretty good off the dribble at times. He's beaten his man. I mean, how does he look there to you?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of an adrenaline maybe he's gotten from the playoffs. He looks a little bit better than he did to close the season.
Yeah,
if you went back and looked at some tape of him 5 years ago in Houston on a nightly basis, and kind of like now,
yeah,
see a difference. I mean, it's just not quite as explosive once he goes. I mean, he likes to dance, right? He goes back and forth at that tight low dribble. Back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And then he reacts to you shifting your weight. And he had an ability in Houston that the exact time you would shift your weight is when he would go in the opposite direction. And now it's just impossible to recover against a guy that's, you know, that strong and quick. And then you get in there and then his intent was always different. Depends. He was going to read you. You know, you come up for the back line, the lob or a pocket pass, dunk to Capella. If you want to send somebody off the corner to the strong side lane and get in front of him, well, that's going to be a bullet pass to the corner for a three. And then if you don't get enough help, he's going to go ahead. He's going to shoot that little floater, take it all the way to the rim, or try to get fouled. More often than not, take his arms into your body and try to get two free throws. He was just a machine. He was a machine at that time. I don't think he's a machine right now. I think it's there sometimes. It's just not as automatic.
All right, let's talk about a couple of wild cards of the series. And we're talking to the great Tim Legler, Legs, the preeminent NBA analyst, ESPN, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Let Comcast Business keep you ready for what's next. So let's begin with a wild card, and that's been Maxey. I said this to you the other day, like, we don't have a ceiling. Before the series, when we talked, I said, we don't know about Maxey and the ceiling, and they can't guard him. They can't keep him in front of him. And he's taking his game to a very important level for this team.
Single biggest factor in the series is Tyrese Maxey's speed. They just cannot deal with it. I mean, they look incompetent at the point of attack with him. He's just too much for them. And no matter who they put there, they just don't have the personnel. I mean, Van Vliet's a really good player. He's not like lightning quick laterally. Defensively, he's strong. So if you want to get a guy that's got normal speed, or you want to play bang a little bit and try to back him down, and then VanVleet's a really good defender in that situation. When you talk about just lateral quickness, cutting a guy off this quick, coming at you with a head of steam, it's too much for them. So he's been by far the biggest factor in the series. I mean, the guy's shooting 61% from the field, 44 from the three. You know, you can't do it any more efficiently than he's doing it. I don't believe he's missed a free throw yet in the series. I mean, he's a complete difference maker. And how exciting it is that the Philadelphia 76ers have this guy on their roster, because he is fun to watch, man. He just, you know, you pull for him because he looks like he loves what he's doing, and he's unflappable. And, you know, at some point here, you're going to have a bad game. He's a young player. But he, to me, that's been the biggest difference. He is 100%. They have not been able to contain him at the point of attack, and he is just completely destroying them. Anything he does off the dribble. 30 made baskets. 30 made baskets in three games.
Maximus. 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 He also knows how to get the crowd involved. They love him. And that's the energy that he provides, too. Like, the building grows alive when he's on the floor, Legs.
Oh, no doubt. I saw that in a little, you know, we both did. You know, little spurts he would have in the past, right, where he'd get these little moments where, you know, he wouldn't play for a couple games, and all of a sudden they'd give him 6 minutes because somebody's in foul trouble or whatever, you know, and then he'd come in, and immediately they reacted to him, and immediately it felt like he scored, like, and you're going, man, I love this guy, man. You know, his bounce, his smile is just, he just clearly loves this. And now, I mean, 42 minutes a night in, you know, in a taste of the postseason as a starter. And he's been sensational. There's no other word for it. He's been fantastic. So, yeah, give me more of this, man. I want more. I want more Maxi. I want more Embiid. I want more Harden. I want the Sixers finish this off. Like I said, I'm not going to be shocked Toronto doesn't lay down and they get a game. I don't envision them coming out and laying flat. Some of these teams do that in that situation because they know they pour everything into game three. It doesn't happen. It's so demoralizing. I don't know how you recover from it.
Yeah.
That's not the case with the Raptors. So we'll see. But now then, you know, the last thing you want is now we get into a one possession game in game five at home.
You're
like, oh my goodness. Yeah. Now you're thinking, is this going to go extended, you know, that's
right.
The last thing they want. So better off to end it if they can tomorrow.
I'm with you. There are a couple other things I got to touch on. And then Tobias Harris and how well he's played. First of all, he's played Siakam really, really well. He's been, he hasn't hesitated on his catch and shoot. He's been able to penetrate. He's had three really good games, Legs.
Really has. And, you know, this poor guy. You know, he gets maligned a lot. He's an easy target for people. I've been down there, you know, at the games a number of times, and it seems like that's the first guy you'll hear somebody in your section picking on. Like when things aren't going right, it's going to be Tobias they're going after. He's played very, very well. And when you start to think about this, you're going, okay, man, like right now, Tobias Harris is your fourth best player. You got a pretty damn good team. If that's the case, particularly when he's been this consistent, and he has. So everything you could want right now is happening for Philly. That was an enormous win the other night, because think about the difference that this would feel going into game four if it's 2-1. And you've got, you know, I think you've got a number of guys, you know, between Embiid, Harden, Doc, you know, top of the list. They still have stuff to prove, like significant stuff to prove.
Yeah, yeah.
And now you got, you know, it's 2-1. You go into game four on the road, and you feel just a little bit more weight of everything. So that was a very important game the other night to get them to breathe. You know, they're going to get through this, and then the road gets a lot tougher. You know.
All right, let's talk about Miami.
I still think you got five teams right now. I still believe this because I don't think Brooklyn's. I don't think I think Boston's going to win a series. I picked Boston to win that series. You're not going to sit there and write off a team of KD and Kyrie. So. To me, there's still five teams that are worthy of like talking about here as this goes forward, and Philadelphia has a chance to get into that final four with one more win.
Well, let's talk about the matchup with Miami, and I know we'll get into it deeper next week, But, you know, that kind of potential matchup with the Heat, just at first blush, again, there's no one that can deal with Embiid. So that's another X factor again.
So completely. Nobody that can deal with Embiid, you know, on an individual level, for sure. I think what you're going to get a little bit more of with them, and look, Nick Nurse is a great coach too. Spoelstra is a great coach. I mean, you know, those are two guys in a row I have just so much respect for. I just think they have a little bit more across the board of a defensive mindset collectively than Toronto does. And I think that they will be a little bit more in sync with what they do want to do with in terms of blitzes and rotations and things like that. They're just going to be better at it than Toronto. I don't think Toronto collectively is a great defensive team. I think Miami can be. They can put lineups out there that completely understand their ability to affect it on that end. So it's going to be different looks, and it's going to be, I think, more consistent and coordinated with what Embiid will face. And I think Eric Spoelstra is the type of guy, he's going to do everything he can to make James Harden have to beat them, make Tobias Harris, Tyrese Maxey have to beat them. And whatever that means he has to do with Embiid, he's going to do. He'll see more zone than he's seen all year in that series, for sure. And I just think in general, the way they'll hit him, the way they'll switch it up, mix it up, collectively, it'll be. I think it's going to be tougher. The games will probably be a little bit more lower scoring.
How does the now let's look at the East for a second, big picture, because Middleton's injury really is going to hurt Milwaukee. Now we'll see. I think they escape Chicago, but you know next round it could really impact them. No, depending on if he's back from the knee or not.
No, listen, Chris Middleton and Devin Booker through this entire thing. Now it's anybody's game. Yeah. I mean, it's to me, it's wide open now. I think Booker being out for 2 to 3 weeks, you know, you talk about a team now. Look, they've got a Pelicans team right now that it feels so good about themselves offensively with elite offensive talent. Two guys that are playing great. And now,
CJ, where did that come from? He's been liberated since he left Dame.
Listen, man, we did enough. We talked enough over it since the Ben Simmons stuff went down at the end of that series. I don't know if they ever had a possibility to get him. I was screaming to get CJ McCollum over the summer because I said, and I remember my exact quote was, if CJ McCollum is your starting point guard and it's his team, his ball, his show, he's 23-8, penciled in. He's 23-8. I was wrong. He's like 25-8. Okay, so I was off a little bit. He's like been that good offensively. He's just so good at ball screen offense, and he's got a great mid range game, and he is a money player. I go back a couple years ago, that game 7 against Denver on the road. Lillard can't buy one the entire night. CJ McCollum goes for 30 plus in that game on the road in a game 7. At prime time on a Sunday afternoon. I'll never forget that. Got them out of that round. Got them onto the next round. It stuck in my head. I'm like, this guy he's not fazed by any of this. And then Ingram is so talented. So, you know, they're going to have to work to get this. But I think I think ultimately Phoenix will win the series. But when you talk about Booker going down, Middleton going down, you know, a couple weeks each, that to me opened up a lot for a lot of teams. The playoffs got much more interesting to me. Now seeing that, you know, so I thought those teams were going to the finals. If they are now a little bit limited, everybody else now has a legitimate shot.
People are talking about Boston, and all of a sudden now Boston is the big concern. I go back to what you said before the playoffs, or actually when the Harden trade came down, that you still thought the Sixers matched up well with Boston.
Yeah, I think they do. I mean, look, this is an ebb and flow. Everything's always fluid. They're playing great right now. I mean, defensively, what they're doing in this series, I've never seen Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving like collectively look like this.
Yeah.
Certainly Durant.
Yeah.
I mean, Durant, it is an absolute straight-up alley fight every time up the floor. They are beating him up. And look, you talk about stark contrast between the way games are officiated postseason and regular season. Kevin Durant's a walking example of it. He is getting mauled. And it's like the refs are also caught up in the aggressiveness of the two teams.
Yeah.
And you hit somebody that hard every time up the floor, and you hit them with blitzes and body checking them. And, you know, you're not going to blow your whistle every time. So next thing you know, Kevin Durant, he missed some makeable shots, but I thought that was more in game 1. I thought game 2, that was much more about Boston suffocating him. So right now, Boston, man, they're so good defensively. And the fact that they won the other night and their top guys weren't that good offensively, that is a little bit scary, how well they're playing. But look, like I said, man, Philly's absolutely right there in the mix. Miami, Milwaukee is still in the mix. Still have Giannis last time I looked. Boston is playing better than anybody right now, probably, on both ends of the floor. And then you still got Kyrie and KD dangerous here. If they get one win, man, that could change the way they feel. So very wide open. And in the West, man, some surprising stuff. You know, Memphis, that was ridiculous what Minnesota allowed to happen last night. So Memphis.
They got fleas, Minnesota. They got fleas.
Man, oh, man. How can you take
Utah, Minnesota got fleas. Utah's got fleas, too.
How about that? I mean, you got Jalen Brunson, you know, looking like, you know, Tiny Archibald out there.
Ah, it's unbelievable. Yeah.
And now you got Luka coming back in the middle of the series. So it's, to me, far more teams right now legitimately in the conversation to end up in the finals. And a lot of it has to do with those injuries. But I think there's, you can make a case, 8-9 different teams could end up in the finals. It's great.
Awesome.
That's great for us.
Ah, Legs, man, you're the greatest. I love it. I can go on all day. I'm getting the looks from the producer. All right, he's about to shock me. I need you like a couple times a week next week, man. I mean, this once a week's killing me, all right?
Text me at the end of the weekend, man.
All right, buddy. You're the man.
All right, man.
Say back, bless the baby. See you, pal.
All right, man. You got
Legs got a baby, too. New baby.
Congratulations. Yeah. I need more than a shock when it's Legs.
Yeah, I go right to the shock.
That's me blowing up the phone towers.
I go right off the shock, I guess. Like the Hulk. I could do an hour straight with Legs without even with nothing, Judas. With nothing, I could do an hour straight.
Yes, you could. And then I would get phone calls.
He's in my ear. We're up against it. Stop.
Yeah.
Here's Chuck.
And now you're still going.
Oh.
You know what I'm saying?
Shut up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.